You know, it's always good to come to church and introduce yourself. Now, I've been doing a lot of that lately because I'm the new guy on the block. I'm Pastor Marcus Whitman. I'm an associate pastor here at... Oh, sorry if I get emotional, but Paige and I know we've been heading this way for a while. And so we're thankful to be home. My beautiful wife, Paige, of course, go ahead and stand up so everybody can see you, baby. Of course, y'all know her as Pastor Joel and Hope's mom. And she's my wonderful, beautiful wife of almost 10 years. And we're so thankful to be home. Even though I grew up in Birmingham in that area, it sure is good to be here in Jackson because Jackson is home now. Amen. And so if I get a little emotional, y'all just have to abide with me because it's a thrill to be here and to be with the Lord and be with you guys. And Paige and I are so thankful to be a part of this wonderful church. And we know that God's great and wonderful things for this body. Amen. And so we're excited about what he's doing. And we just know he's got great things. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 6 in the King James Version. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ." Everybody say together. "Quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together," everybody say together, "and made us sit together," everybody say together, "in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Father God, we thank you for your word. We approach it with great reverence and honor, and we thank you for impartation and revelation knowledge flowing tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, I bet you can't guess the title of tonight's sermon. The title of tonight's sermon is Together. You guessed it. You're a smart bunch, I tell you what. Together. I love reading this passage because it reminds me of where I am right now. You might think I'm in Jackson, Mississippi on planet Earth. You might think right now my feet are on the ground and I'm here with all of you guys, but I'm here to tell you I'm seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where I am. And I'm together with my Savior. I'm together with Him. And as we read this passage, we never want to just gloss over this stuff. It says in verse 5 of the Amplified Version, verse 5 and 6 in the Amplified, "Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ." Everybody say, I'm alive. Together. In fellowship. In union. With Christ. Well, isn't that good news? Oh, but it gets even better. We keep reading. "He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you do not deserve, in which you are saved." You've been delivered from judgment. You've been made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he's raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in heavenly places. The minute I said Jesus come into my heart, 20 years old, a sophomore at Samford University, I got down on my knees and I said, "Jesus, I've done this so long on my own. Come into my heart." Immediately, things changed. Immediately on the inside, he took out that old stony heart, that old man, that old sin nature out of the inside of me. And immediately, I became seated together with Christ. And he raised me up to be seated with him in heavenly places. See, he raised me up. He lifted me up to a higher way of living. He lifted me up to a place I had never been before in Christ. He raised me up. You know, to raise means to lift up. One of the great benefits of living in Jackson, Mississippi, is all of the grandchildren live here. Everybody say, praise God for grandchildren. If we'd known how great they were, we'd had them first. That's the old saying. No, we love our kids. But I've got my youngest grandson right now. Now, we have four, and we have one to be named shortly. We got one on the way. But my youngest grandson is Lake. And so Lake's over at the house last night hanging out. And you walk by, and he's getting to the age now at 11 months where he begins to recognize Pop-Pop. And then the great thing is about recognizing Pop-Pop, he gets those arms, and those arms go up. Oh, you want to have your heart melt. He's got a smile, I tell you what. He smiles at you, he lifts those, and he just wants to be where Pop-Pop is. So what do? I do what every loving parent, every loving grandfather would do. I extend down, and I raise him up. You know, too many believers are trying to get to a place they already are. Too many believers are waiting for Daddy to pick him up in his arms, but he's already done it. Too many of us are trying to earn or do, and I made this mistake, or I said this, or I did that. No, I'm here to tell you, he's raised you up together now. He reached down in his love, and he picked us up in his arms. And I pick up Lake, and I put him in my arms. I get him close to my heart. And he just puts his little head right there on my heart. See, folks, we are seated together in heavenly places with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and we are seated there right next to the Father. It's not a long distance call. It's not something you've got to earn or figure out. No, my grandkids, they just come up to me and they pop and pop, pop, and they expect Pop, Pop to get them anything they want and buy them anything they need, and he probably will. But the thing we have to realize is that God the Father always intended for us to be together with him. He raised us, picked us up, and put us in a seating together. That word together means to be united or in union or connected to. I'm always in union. I'm always united. And I'm always connected to my Father because I'm together with him in Christ. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. I am righteous in him, not in me, not in what I say and what I do, but I'm righteous in him and because of his blood and because of his love. And one of the things we have to remember as believers all the time is that we have been raised up to a new life, a new place. You don't want to live with your feet on the ground, folks. Now, I'm not telling you to be a flaky, weirdo Christian, but I'm here to tell you that every single day of your life, you're living in a place and you're living in a relationship in Christ that has raised us up together and put us in a place that nobody else gets to live in except for those who are in Christ, in him. He raised us up together. Everybody say together. Yeah. I'm going to ask my lovely wife to come up here. I may use her a couple of times tonight. Now, he raised me up. But believe it or not, he raised her up also. See, my wife's not down here and I'm up here. No, she's a believer. You born again? Spirit-filled? I thought so. But see, the thing is, she's raised up here with me together in Christ. She's with me. But see, every single born-again child of God has been raised up together with Christ or in him. I think the church has forgotten that. See, did you realize that we're all together and we're meant to be together? And if we're together with Jesus, we're together with each other who are in Christ.
Amen.
See, the reason he wants us to realize that we're together because that's where the power lies in being together.
Amen. That's right.
Not being separate and not being disjointed, but being together.
Amen.
I am with my wife, and she is with me in Christ. And because of that, we're seated together in Christ, but he intended us to be together, not separate.
Amen.
My wife is a wonderful, spirit-filled Christian lady, and I never want to be separated from her. I never want to be put in a place where she's over there in that room doing her thing, and I'm over here in my room doing my thing because we can't get along, we can't get an agreement. Now, see, God always intended us to be seated together with Him in Christ, being brought together, because that's the place where power is, and that's the place where unity is, and that's where the place where things happen in your life.
Yes.
Is being together.
Amen.
I'm going to ask her to step down. Would you rather walk the other way or come down the ladder? Thank you, sweetie. Seated together, with Christ together, in fellowship with our Heavenly Father together. Flip over to a verse that I love over here in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, and I'm going to ask them to put the Amplified version up on the screens. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. And I'm going to read it out of the King James, and then we'll read the Amplified. That which we have seen and heard, and declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you read the Amplified, it says this: what we have seen and ourselves have heard, we are also telling you so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Being together in Christ, having fellowship with God the Father, is the distinguishing mark of Christians. Being raised up and seated with Him, having fellowship and having a relationship with Him, is what distinguishes Christians from everybody else. We have a relationship and fellowship with Him, but I'm even going to say this, because we're in Christ and because we're in Him and because of Jesus, not only do we enjoy this fellowship with Christ, we enjoy this fellowship with each other. Amen. Amen. See, I can have fellowship with you, with people I've never met before, because we have the same very life that's flowing in each of us that is flowing in God. You remember that verse over there in verse 5 in Ephesians 2? It said the very same life that He has is what He gave us and quickened us with. Did you realize that the same very life that flows through Jesus is what flows through you? Flows through your spirit? Did you realize we didn't get second class or second rate righteousness? We didn't get second class or second rate salvation? We didn't get second rate or second class life. We got the very life He gave Christ. But that's the very life that's flowing through your Christian brother also. He didn't go down to the second store. Any of you ever been down to the second store? The second store, it's got a you know, the little polo horsey, he's missing his mallet. You ever had one of those? That's what I used to buy all the time. The polos with the horsey mallet. But they were $10 to $15 cheaper. I'm here to tell you, your righteousness and your salvation cost God the Father all He had. It's not second rate. It's not second class. It cost Him the very life of His Son, the very precious blood of Christ. But not only did He give it to you, but He gave it to the people sitting next to you who are in Christ. And He also gave it to every single person on the planet. They just haven't received it yet. But the thing we have to realize is that today, there is an attack on this earth against two institutions. Two institutions that have been ordained of God the Father, and they are the home and they are the church. It is said that whatever the devil fears, he attacks. And I'm here to tell you, he attacks the home and he attacks the church, and he wants to divide and separate, because that's the way you conquer. But see, we're smarter than that. We realize that the same very life that Christ deposited in us, He deposited in our spouse, He deposited into other believers, and He's making it available for everybody. It's a free gift. Together. One of the things we have to realize is that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're always together. Always. Flip over to the book of John. John chapter 17 and verse 11. John 17, 11. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In John 17 and verse 11, this is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane right before He's going to be delivered up to be crucified. In verse 11, He says this: and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, and that they may be one as we are. That they may be one as we are. In the Amplified, it says, they may be one as we are one. See, God the Father and God the Son, they never have an argument. I didn't get any amens on that one. I'll come over here to you, Brother Dean. I know Pastor Dean will amen me. See, Jesus said, what I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, I say. And Jesus said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and He will speak of me. He will reveal. And then that Spirit's going to live on the inside of each and every one of us. And see, that Spirit that lives within us, as Pastor was sharing with us last Wednesday, is the anointing of God. The manifested presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the anointing. It is the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power that makes things easy and greasy in a moment of time. There have been things in my life I've tried to take care of and believe for, but there have been times when I've gotten a place where the power of God, the Holy Spirit, was in manifestation flowing together, and boom, things happened immediately. And the reason Jesus was praying, Father, let them be one even as we are one, is because He knew that when the church and the Christian family got together as one, great power, great anointing would be made manifested, and anything that needed to be done could be done. That was the whole reason He was praying, Father, let them be one. And that's why the devil is always trying to divide and separate, because he knows where the power comes from. We are one in Christ. We have the same life that's flowing through Jesus, that's flowing through us. And when we get together in thought and word and action, boom, things happen. I mean, boom, it happens. We've seen that all the way through the Word of God. When believers got together in spirit, things happen. The anointing would happen. Over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, they were getting ready to dedicate the temple. And Solomon brought everybody together. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, and it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by the reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you, you are the house of God today. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God lives and abides and dwells in us. And one of the ways that the anointing and the power of God is released from us is we come together in one accord, praising God as they did here. You want power in your house? You want to see signs and wonders among your kids? You want to see things happening in your life? Then come together with your spouse, come together with your children in spirit and truth, and begin praise the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, you'll see power demonstrated and pointed right to you and right to your problem or right to the opportunity. Amen? See, notice a couple of things here. It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. Everybody say one. One, to make one sound to be heard in praising and lifting up and thanking the Lord. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud. They were one, they were together, they were praising the Lord, and the glory came in. The power came in. I don't know about you, but I crave that what is within me gets out of me. I don't know about you, but I know I've got this treasure in this earthen vessel, and I crave, I desire for it to come and flow out of me. And when we praise God and we lift our hands together as a church and we come in like tonight and we begin to sing and we begin to minister to Him and we put everything off to the side and we lift up our voices, we lift up our hands with one accord in praise and thanksgiving, it's not just something we do. No, it's praise to God, and it takes the anointing and the Spirit that's in each and every one of us and draws the power of God in demonstration that each and every one of us needs in our lives. It's that coming together. It's that unity. It's that oneness. And it always, always brings the power. It always, always releases the anointing. Remember over here in Psalm 133? Let's go over here to the book of Psalm. We're not too far. In Psalm 133, a passage that you should have underlined, highlighted in yellow, whatever you do in your Bible. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That word unity means oneness. But really, if you look it up, both the word together and unity are the same. So you could say it like this: "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, together." And I'm here to tell you, together is more than just location. You can take two cats, tie their tails together, flip them over a clothesline, and they're together. But there's not going to be a unity or harmony at all. They're going to be trying to scratch each other's eyes out. No, being together and being unity doesn't mean just location. That's part of it. But it means in spirit and in truth, thinking and saying and doing the same thing. And he says how great it is, how good it is. How good and how pleasant, how wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, in oneness. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. When you see oneness, when you see unity, you see believers together, a husband and wife in the Spirit together, you're going to always see the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. When my wife and I get in agreement, when we begin to praise and worship and thank God, it brings the power that we need at that moment to do great and supernatural things in our lives. When we do that, then it produces the blessing. Oneness, unity, harmony among husbands and wives, among brethren, believers, is always going to bring power, going to bring the anointing, and it's going to produce the blessing in your life. You know, recently my wife and I decided to relocate. We decided it was time. We were in a place, and we decided we needed to move. We believe the Lord was trying to move us here and get us together with our family, with our children, and with this church. Wanted to bring us in a place of being together and being at one. But when we decided to make the move, I had a house to sell. Big house with a big price tag. And in our community, nothing had been selling. Nothing had been moving. And I knew this. When I made the decision, okay, I'm going to resign and we're going to take this step of faith, I knew that nothing had sold. I knew that the house across the street that was bigger than mine sold 2 weeks before I decided to take this step, and it sold for $200,000 less than what I was going to ask my house for. I need some anointing. I need the power of God. I need some great grace. First of all, I knew it was God. That's the first thing. We had sought the Lord. I knew it was a huge step of faith. And then my wife and I, we got in our room together, full of the Spirit of God, her and me. Come here, baby. And we touched hands. And we got an agreement. And we said, Father, we need to sell this house. I don't want to have to live with two house payments or in two different places. And we were living at her sister's, and she was great. They were wonderful, but I didn't want to live there forever. And they didn't want us to live there forever either. So we took that step. We got an agreement, and we started thanking God that our house was sold. How pleasant, how wonderful it is. See, we forget about the prayer of agreement between a husband and a wife. Yeah. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. We believed it was God. We believed we had heard from Him. And now we're going to step out together. But we need some power. Yeah. Nothing is selling. And so we got there in our room and we wrote it down and we caught our hands together. And we said, Father, we just thank You. We know You want us to be there. We know that You know what's going on. We need Your help. Yeah. We need it now. Yeah. And so then we praised Him. Then we thanked Him. And then we loaded up everything we could in our two vehicles. And I preached my last sermon at the church. And then we headed to Jackson. We got our dog. I mean, we looked like Ma and Pa Kettle. I mean, going to Jackson. And we left. And we're in faith and we're believing God. We thank You, Father. Doors are opening and the power of God's moving. And we're believing Him. And we're thanking Him. How pleasant it is. How wonderful it is. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ, but it's not window dressing. It's not a hood ornament. No, we're there with Him in the same life and the same faith that's flowing through us that flows through Him. And it needs to be in my life right now. We arrived in Jackson on Sunday. On Monday, we went looking for schools because we have a 15-year-old that needs to be in school. We went and we interviewed at a school. And while we're interviewing at a school, my real estate agent called and said, Marcus, I've got an offer on your house. Praise God. It's been 5 days. Now, I told her when I left there, I said, you're anointed to sell my house. I said, Spirit of God's on you. You're going to sell my house and it's going to sell quick. She said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Amen. She's a believer. And so she called me up and said, this is what they're offering. I said, I'll take it right now. Yes. Amen. Within 5 weeks, we closed on that house. The week later, we bought a new house. Thank God for the anointing and the Spirit of God moving in our lives. I think so many times we think about the anointing. We think about it in church when the anointing is supposed to be outside the church. So many times we think about it, well, you know, we're going to go, we're going to believe God. I'm telling you, the greatest place of agreement I have is with my wife. When we get in agreement. Now, I'm here to tell you, folks, when it comes to being together with your spouse, you ought to protect it like it's gold because it is. You know, I'm over married life now, and so I've just been really seeking the Lord. And one of the things He's been just pushing home at me, and He's always done this, is if you can keep a husband and wife saying the same thing, thinking the same thing, and moving together, they'll have power and they'll have glory in their house all the time. You ought to protect the togetherness and the oneness in your home, whether it be with your children or a spouse. You ought to protect it like a man killing snakes. Folks, when I was a 16-year-old kid, I walked out of my house one time in the country in Alabama, and there was a great big 6-foot water moccasin in the back of the house. I didn't go get a little thing and play with him. I didn't go, oh, what a pretty little snake. Folks, I went in the house and got a shotgun. I loaded it. I took it outside. I walked up and I went, kaboom! And that snake was no more. See, the devil doesn't want a church full of power. He doesn't want a home full of power. So he'll try to use anything he can, and usually it's words, to divide and conquer. Because the thing is, if you'll come together praising God and thanking God and magnifying Him, I'm here to tell you the Spirit of God will move on your behalf. The anointing will be released. That yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. One of the things that we notice in the early church, there are two things that always caught my attention about the early church. One of them was their power, and the other one was their unity or their oneness. Flip over as we close over here to the book of Acts. We've seen it in the Old Testament. Now let's see it in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, and I begin reading in verse 44, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods, parted with them to all men, and every man had need, none had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You go to Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are released from prison. You go to verse 24. And we'll start in verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." They lifted up their voice with what? One accord. They lifted up their voice. Everybody say their voice. The greatest tool that God the Father has given me and my wife in our home, or me and my church, or even on my business with my people I work with, the greatest tool He has given me are the words of my mouth, the words of their mouth as they agree. When my wife and I are speaking the same thing, going in the same direction, I'm here to tell you, things happen. I'm here to tell you the anointing and the power of God begins to move and to flow and gets going in our life. And every time we start talking differently and going in different directions, I'm here to tell you we have a power failure. Call the power plant, what's happened? Well, I'm here to tell you she's still full of the life of God. I'm still full of the life of God. We're still connected and hooked up to the vine. We're just not connected together. Everybody say together. Yeah. See, the greatest tool are my words, but my greatest adversary might be my words. Actually, it's her words. Wait a second. Hello? My words. See, when we come together praising God as a family, as a church, then what we tap into is the corporate anointing. What we tap into is the Spirit of God that's in you and in me and everybody else in this room, and we bring our faith together. That's why being part of a local church is so important. When Paige and I both went through tragedies in our life, what got us through the tragedy was the power and the anointing in the church. When her spouse passed away, as you well know, and my spouse passed away, what got us through to the other side was the fact that we were together with believers and like precious faith, and it got us to the other side. You don't want to be without a body of believers. You don't want to be in a position where you're seated at the right hand of God the Father, but you're kind of off by yourself. Don't do that. There's so many benefits being seated together. There's so much power available. If I thought it depended totally on me, I'm not sure I'd ever get started. But see, it doesn't. It depends on my Father and His Spirit that's in me and those that He brings alongside, and they connect to me. And then we move together in spirit and in truth. You know, as we get our life groups going here at the church, and as we continue to do more things with married life, and we continue to do these things, the whole reason we do is to bring everybody together so that we can go deeper and experience the power and the manifestation of the Spirit of God to a greater degree. If you didn't need to be together, God the Father would never have brought us together in the local church. The early church were breaking bread. They were hanging out. They were at everybody's houses. And I'm here to tell you, the power showed up. Just ask Ananias and Sapphira. That was the other side of it. You know, the thing about this church that I love so much Hear life, share life, and give life. When you hear life together, it brings unity and it brings oneness of thought. Then you begin to share life together. And as you share that life and you come and you begin to strengthen and get deeper and grow together, then you get to give out that life. But what we do as a church, we give out that life corporately. In power, anointing, in demonstrations, and healings, and whatever somebody needs. Because we've come together as a body of believers. One can set 1,000 to flight, two can set 10,000, and a whole room of believers right now can get a lot done for the kingdom. The anointing destroys the yoke in your life, but it also destroys the yokes in others' lives. Hear life, share life, give life. And we do that together. When we come together as a body of believers, with our focus on the Lord, praising Him and thanking Him and magnifying Him, we're loving each other, speaking well of each other. We have unity and harmony in our home. Then what we see is the anointing of God at loose, which produces the blessing of God in your home, in your church, in your business, in your kids. Fill in the blank, it does it. I'm so thankful that our Father has given us the same very life He gave Christ. I'm so thankful that He's allowed us to be seated together with Him in such a way when we come together in spirit and in truth, the anointing was released and blessings flow. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for other believers? Aren't you thankful for a good local church where you can come hear life, share life, and give life? Because the whole result is it brings blessing not only to your life, but to the life of others. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much that Jesus has given us a new life. We thank You so much, Father God, that You've implanted that on the inside of each and every one of us, but we get to come together and experience the corporate anointing and the power of God each and every Sunday, each and every Wednesday, each and every time we come together. Father, I thank You for each and every believer tonight. We thank You for the spirit of unity and the bond of peace in our homes and in this church and in our businesses and everywhere we go. We thank You, Father God, for the power and the demonstration of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well,